If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is the world all going to be okay? Is what I was wondering about the column. Look, lockdown, we've gone out to the park with
This is a column. Great. Sorry, I thought you were just shooting the breeze.
There isn't time to shoot the breeze.
There isn't.
Tap, 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 you'll start going and looking at the clock.
Ben's car thing is going to run out and Sam is upstairs having his brain melted by his iPad because it's the school holidays again. So I thought you would... Anyway.
My point was feeling, waking up, feeling iry, the lockdown is... I could, in theory... Go to the pub. No, I could go to the park and have a beer with a friend in the park.
You're gesturing at me. I'm not going with you.
I'm not. I'm gesturing at you to yes. keep you away. I'm saying the things I could do. And so I'm just saying, lockdown is on its way out. We probably won't go on holiday, maybe, but we'll be going to the pub. I've been booking meals, dinners. The Times Radio, a couple of the other presenters, we've got a thing. We're going to go to Turnips. Which, it sounds like a 70s nightclub for Randy Farmers.
It does.
But it's like a really actually quite exciting new restaurant in Borough Market, which Ben knows all about because he took me there to meet the...
That is quite racist about him being from the west of England. Turnips.
I've got this. It's called Turnips.
It's called Turnips.
We have Turnips. People think we only eat turnips. There's also Swedes. No, it's in Borough
Market.
For the
DIR,
it's in Borough
Ben
Market,
is laughing.
And it's an ancient... Yes, it's very important. Like when I do TV, if I make the jokes at people's expense, they have to then cut to them laughing. Come on, laugh, go to the cameraman, laugh, or we can't use this. No, but Turnips is this famous old greengrocer's in Borough Market with this super excellent, like, wide greengrocer boy who you would love, a proper East End kind of...
Don't make me out to be some land. Cougar. I mean,
it's just a handsome bloke with a Cockney accent.
Yeah, fine.
You'd be on him like a...
I would be on him like a ferret.
A cat up a drainpipe. Is that what I mean? No, cats don't go up drainpipes.
To splay my neckline back because it's more flattering on the shirt, and it's a new shirt, so it hasn't. I actually got it from the Outnet, which is the sister site of Net-a-Porter.
Oh, is it Net-a-Porter? God.
So
Net-a-Porter is the second major retail thing, which is a pun on prêt-à-porter, isn't it?
Because it's prêt-à-manger.
Yes, and maybe net-à-manger. Would be
internet food
that got delivered.
Net a manger,
but you could a sandwich you could send back because you couldn't fit it all in.
But prêt a manger has been everyone just calls it prêt, right? And net a porter, most people just call it net. So
do they?
Net a manger is going to be like mange. I mean, what's the redaction for that going to be? Ah, I'm going to get a bao bun off ah.
You don't say everything just to get free shit.
Hmm?
You don't say everything just to get
free
shit.
I don't get any free shit. Oh, except...
Speaking of
free shit...
What, our rowing thing?
Our rowing thing.
Harry Wallop did a piece in the Times, and there was a piece in the Mail, and it was about Hydro, which is the rowing equivalent of Peloton, which is a thing... It's like, with respect to all my friends who are into Peloton, it seems like it's the wanker's exercise option.
It takes a perfectly normal person and it turns
you think, them into you think they're absolutely fine, you meet them, but
and they go, oh my Peloton.
Just rocking a PB of 70, but what? Yeah. This is not line of duty. Stop with these ridiculous...
Just to clarify what exactly a Peloton is.
So it's a rowing machine.
No,
a Peloton is the cycling thing.
But
I don't really know.
What makes it different from a normal exercise bike is that it comes with a screen in front of it.
Which I thought, because I got it confused, there's a thing you can do where you go and you're fully surrounded and you're cycling through forests and and it's all like there's hazards and bears and things pop up and it's like a video game. But in fact, it's a screen where you're just... You can do a class or something?
I don't actually know. I wonder if the Peloton screen, you can cycle through, you know, a woodland or whatever. Probably. Why not? Why would they not add that function in if it was
possible? But it's basically being in a class. And
basically, you're doing
if we just, like, we're not too mean, being too mean about the doing of Peloton, lots of our friends, like, out in the countryside, for some reason, where there's just nothing to do except cycle on the lovely empty roads, are all really into Pelotons.
But I just get squashed by
and they
by
just talk about them, and they all do, like, do the same classes, and I think they compete. Anyway, I thought that was a wanker's thing. But then I read about... I saw this hydro thing, and I thought the rowing thing would be vaguely fun. I saw it in the papers, and then our friend who was involved with hydro sort of said, do you want to try one out? And now I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
But I, don't want to admit it, because I don't want to have conversations, because I, you know, conversations with Peloton people. I slightly do. I slightly want to talk to people about how shit their Peloton song. I think you want to try a hydro. I partly like the fact that you sit down on it rather than, like, all hunched up. The main thing is not the exercise. It doesn't sort of wear you out. But the social element. So basically they have, I haven't worked out how to have a live class, but they have all these teachers and they're all in America, they're all young and they're all hot and they're all incredibly thick. But like all exercisey people. Yeah. So they're all saying things like, so, you know, there's that you can go for a row with a really pretty girl that goes, I'm so psyched, I'm so pumped. And now
I am so
the number in the bottom left and we're gonna, yeah. And I was doing that and I'm thinking, and then after I'd done a sort of four different female instructors, I started to think, is this a bit, it's pervy. So then I did the blokes, and they go, right. So there's one who's called, I think, Mike, and he's Mike, but he's in Miami, and he's going, and they're all clearly kind of, they were all competitive, had been sort of competitive athletes or something like that. And you're rowing along and trying to keep rhythm with them, and it's sort of, now we're allowed to see people, but it became a sort of social thing. I've got my kind of thick, muscly friend Mike, who, and you look at his face as he's rowing along, and you row along with him. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of like an alternative to having a friend. And I thought I could maybe write a column about, now that lockdown is over, I actually want to just stick with my, you know, my on-screen TV friends. Because I would never go exercising with a person. You know how women go for runs together?
Right.
And they chat as they run along. They go,
I
chat,
don't know
chat,
how
and
they
I saw
do
him
that.
The thing, and I don't know what
if
was there.
If I were to ever open my mouth during a run, I would just be
yeah,
sick.
But no, but there you are with these people and they can't see you and you can see them. And I think it's kind of marvellous.
But I think the most successful of these kinds of products is that they are selling you, whether you're buying it consciously or unconsciously, they're selling you a kind of dream and a lifestyle. And to me, that New England dream of the I love an upscale American. I love a Maine. I love kind of that kind of New England snobbery. I just love it. I think they do it much better than the British do snobbery.
There's one called Mac, is an instructor called Mac, and I'm rowing and she's looking at me and I'm rowing along and I literally, as I'm rowing, as I row along with this kind of, I mean, you know, youngish woman, I don't know what she is, 28-year-old woman rowing along in her sort of kit going, and now we're breathing. I'm so psyched for this. I find myself trying not to sweat too much and kind of look nice and sort of smile.
For Mac.
Like, she's looking at me. For
who
Mac,
recorded but, this 6 months ago.
No, yeah, no, but 48 years ago. And I'm just sort of, she's out there, and I'm just sort of trying, I'm trying to pull really hard. I don't mean pull Mac, I mean pull, yes, pull on the oars so that it's, yeah, so that she'll be impressed with me. And I'm sort of, but in strangely, I can flirt with this rowing person 7,000 miles and 14 years away. This thing about rowing in my own bedroom in order to become more buff and impress Mac brings me nicely to narcissism. I'm surprised you have not. You didn't cut that story out. You claim to have done the papers this morning.
I have, but I didn't want to do the narcissist story because they've just got it so wrong.
I thought when I read it, they were, oh, right, they're going to come up against Esther's feelings about narcissism. So you think they don't understand?
They don't understand narcissism at all. At all.
Right. That's quite a narcissistic viewpoint you've got there.
No, that's not, because you don't understand what a narcissist is.
Okay, tell us what narcissism is.
Okay. In psychotherapy, a narcissist is a person who has been traumatized as a child into believing that they are fundamentally unlovable. So that means neglect or abuse. It doesn't have to be very bad, but it does have to be neglect or abuse by one or both parents, usually the mother, because it's always the mother's problem. And that feeling inside the person who grows up that they are inherently unlovable causes them to create an emotional shield, okay? And on this shield, like a coat of arms, are things that the narcissist...
Coat of armour or a coat of arms?
Coat of arms.
Really?
You know, coat of arms has like a squirrel and a little thing. So on the
Whose coat of arms has a squirrel on it? Like a the world's most famous Jack Russell. Lord Jack Russell of Biggleshire has a bone and a squirrel.
A squirrel and a leaf and a lamppost.
And a big turd.
Yes. So they're also on the narcissist's shield that protects them from a world that believes that they are unlovable, okay,
yes.
are, I am always right. I am very kind. I am good at driving.
Which of those three things is not true of me?
Okay, but can I just complete my thing?
And then we'll come back to
it. It's quite complicated, right?
Yeah.
And so this shield that has all these things pinned on it, okay, this is not, so narcissists are not in love with their own reflection. Narcissists are obsessed, as Narcissus was. Narcissists are obsessed with a projected image of themselves that comes from within themselves like a Care Bear.
You had me right up to Care Bear and then I got confused.
I did it to make Ben laugh.
Fuck off. Are you schooling me in my own psychiatric problems or trying to make our producer laugh?
Both.
Oh.
Because well, you think I don't know anything, but I am
why like
quite
a Care Bear?
Clever.
I mean, like,
because Care Bears used to press. It is like the narcissist's shield is like a Care Bear's. They go, Care Bears, sheer! And their tummies kind of are projected like the bat sign into the air in front of them.
That is not my generation. We didn't have Care Bears. I don't know what you're talking about.
That is a totally, totally fitting.
Did you have the Hair Bear Bunch?
Sorry?
The Hair Bear Bunch.
I don't know what that is.
No, but I don't know what Care Bears are. Because I got confused. Yeah, before the Care Bears, there was the Hair Bear Bunch. And they were on things like on the banana splits on a Saturday morning.
Right.
And there were three different bears and I can't remember much about them. So look, then what have they got it wrong? Okay, so you've just given a large sort of childhood background to why someone would be a narcissist and declare what it is. And you have explained it very clearly to me and I understand. But so this story, so where they go on reflection, it seems narcissists are deeply insecure. Yeah.
On reflection.
That's what subs have to do to indicate that it's a funny story. It's a Tom Whipple story. He's larking about it a little. I can ask him about this on the radio show. But Muhammad Ali said, I'm the greatest. So would that be because his mother didn't love him?
No, look, I cannot. I don't know enough
about Kanye West? I always put Kanye.
Kanye West is a very, very troubled person.
Kanye West declared himself God's vessel, lamenting that alone in the world, he was cursed with the pain of never seeing himself perform live.
Right.
Some might suggest these men are a bit too pleased with themselves, but they're actually compensating for hidden insecurities. But you've just said that.
It's not, I mean, compensating for hidden insecurities. Yeah, I guess that's a way that you could put it. Yeah, I suppose so. But that
a study has found that narcissists, and I don't know, they've gone looking, are you looking at my armpits? Are they sweating?
No, I'm looking at you've damaged your finger. It's all bruised. Is that another Fives injury?
Okay, so I was really into my hydro rowing safely in my room. But then this week, they announced that you can go and do team sport. So I went out on Monday night to play Fives, the first time I could in 3 months. I strapped up my fourth finger, which I had dislocated playing football with Sam, strapped it up, leaving the little finger thing, which got a bang and has gone completely purple.
You always come back from Fives like you've been in a bar.
And I've got this smash on my nose. Possibly I should just stay in my room rowing like a dick with your imaginary friend. With my imaginary girlfriend from Miami. And then I played tennis yesterday. Such a cliche. I thought, what difference is it going to make to me, this ending of the lockdown or this slowing down of the lockdown? And already I played Fives on Monday, tennis on Tuesday.
Do you know what I've done?
What?
Fuck all. Right, so let's get back to narcissists.
So
there's been a study that say that they're...
It's long been speculated whether narcissism might be misnamed. The name implies excessive self-love, Pascal Wallace from New York University said. No, can you cut where I said New York? Anybody who says New York when they're saying... Or coffee. Can you cut that I said that? Because I didn't say that because I'm not one of those people because I'm funnier than that and I'm not a cliche.
Because you are funny.
Fuck off. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer. rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you see Shop Out to Help Out?
Yes.
Did you have
did.
Any thoughts about that?
I didn't. Really.
Did you see it was written? Mary Porter's idea. Well, no, I just thought you might because of Shopping With You. I thought it was really, really good. What they're hoping, what they want to do is
yes.
What? What?
No, I can feel a burn coming my way. That's fine.
Look at you actually smiling at the thought that I'm about to be horrity. No, I'm not. Can you imagine? That's the thing I can't do in the column. If I do Shop Out to Help Out, it's basically for women. That's it. That's me ended. So I can't say that. And I wouldn't say it anyway.
No, okay, look, I would say I'm not shopping out to help out because I have continued shopping at exactly the same rate as I did out of lockdown, just online.
Well, it's to help shops or people who work in shops or something. I don't know. The thing that I was amused by was what they're campaigning for the government to do, for Rishi Sunak to do, to parallel the Eat Out to Help Out, which is basically Eat Out to Help Out was why there was a second and a third wave.
Yeah.
And why we've all been locked down for the whole winter is because of Eat Out to Help. But basically because of that one plate of fish and chips that Rishi Sunak carried without a mask, grinning like a tool, put down at someone's plate.
Don't talk about my boyfriend
it's basically
like that.
Are you still into Rishi?
I love
Even
Rishi
now, Sunak. Yeah. But he basically... It's the Rishi variant. He coughed onto a plate of fish and handed it to some mug on the TV, and now we're all locked down. But anyway, the Shop Out to Help Out, the plan is, and I don't want to sound really entitled and rich and don't understand how the other half live, or the other 0.99%, but I mean 99%, but they're campaigning for Rishi to provide for a discount of 50% for purchases, the first purchase up to £10. So it's right. A fiver off your shopping trip.
That's significant.
Is it?
Yes.
What can you... I mean, I don't want to have to say what can you...
Well, it depends what it is. I mean, is it on fags? Is it on booze?
I imagine not, would be my guess.
It will reduce the price of...
So it's on fast fashion, terrible things with fibres that go into the sea.
That's less great.
Do you think that'll get people flooding to the shops, the fact that it's going to save a fiver or
yes.
something? Really?
Yes, darling. People on a budget, and I know you don't understand that. Well, look, you don't understand budgets because you don't spend... any money.
And I earn lots.
And you earn lots. And I managed to like make a dent in that money mountain for you. Look, it's really... The pandemic is throwing up a lot of very difficult questions about everyone needs PPE, but the use of single plastic has gone through the roof. You want to go shopping in order to boost the economy, but you don't want everyone just flocking to Peacock. I was going to say Peacocks and Primark, just buying these shit things that they just throw away. Even H&M has got is a bit more kind of conscious about how it makes its cotton and stuff. But if people are kind of flocking to bloody Primark to buy some gopping sweater for £5,
which is going to be put in a washing machine and then 48 billion yeah. fibres into the sea,
and then just thrown in the bin. I mean,
going to not only has the pandemic, the response to the pandemic, killed 20 years of progress in disposable plastics and throwaway culture, so that everyone's with the masks everywhere in the bin. Now they're going to encourage people to go out and buy things on which a £5 saving would be cheaper. I would argue that nothing you can buy for less than £20 is worth having. Like Full stop.
I'm just thinking about that.
Well, anything that you can buy for less than £20, is going to be gone by the end of the year.
Right.
There's nothing in it. It's going to be thrown away. Possibly apart from a book. Read out to help out. Anyway, maybe that's going to end up.
Sorry. What? Sorry, I just this kind of scrabbling around for ideas is just endlessly entertaining, funny to me. Now I had an idea for you, and then but then I saw that Carol Midgley done it.
What was that?
Oh, Barbecue Man. So should we do Barbecue Man?
Is that
Man?
What Carol Midgley's done?
Carol Midgley's done Barbecue Man.
What she said about it?
Our esteemed colleague, Carol Midgley, has written about Barbecue Man, which is a story earlier on this week, because the MasterChef presenter, Greg Wallace, said that he is just scathing about men and barbecues. And he says, Greg Wallace says, men who only ever go into a kitchen to throw beer cans away suddenly seek to perfect one of the most difficult techniques known to man, says Greg Wallace. Every barbecue I have ever been to was rubbish, which is pretty hardcore. Anyways, Carol Midgley has doubled down on this statement and is saying, basically nobody should ever host a barbecue because they're all terrible. So it's true and everyone knows it. She says, okay, hashtag not all men, don't cancel me. But a great many men who are invisible when it comes to making the kids fish fingers every night will suddenly spy sunshine, grasp their tongued tool and cry, stand aside, wife, for this is men's work. But the thing is that you're actually really good at barbecuing things.
The thing was that Wallace and Tarode said this thing about, but you shouldn't just lob any old stuff on the barbecue, cook it over flame, you should just cook over the coals, you should just cook one thing, you should focus, it shouldn't be too big. Well, it was all true. I wanted to go to Tarode and Wallace, what a pair of goons, here's, and school them, but they were completely right.
Yeah, of course they're right.
At this stage in the debate, I'd need to bring something else to it.
Well, you would have to say, it would have to be one of your men-bashing pieces. You haven't done a men-bashing piece for a while. You have in the past done, all men are boring, all men are stupid, I much prefer, girls, men are just sort of thick and annoying and blah. And what I think it was probably like girls get, or women get access to some club that they've been denied to, and you're like, do you understand why men want to have men-only clubs? It's because we're boring and stupid and irritating, and we can't bear the look on women's faces when we light our farts and they say, you're so immature. So that's why men need to have men-only spaces so they can be pathetic and nobody judges them for it. That was your column that you wrote a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But you haven't done... So you would say, listen, I am very, very good at barbecuing. Because you are. You're brilliant at barbecuing. You really are. You think about it deeply. You're totally prepared. It's always ready on time. You've practiced loads. You've looked
it's
at the science of it.
I'm good at, and good at everything and not a narcissist.
Right. You are good at lots of things. I'm not saying, I'm not saying you're not
a great deal. Basically, I take a great, whatever reason it is, I take a great deal of trouble over everything. So, and that's a slight difference between you and me. You're good at lots of things. I'm good at lots of things, bad at things. You're bad at things too. There's a certain number of things that I take an enormous amount of trouble and have an enormously long sort of attention span. Mm-hmm. For
perfecting things, exactly.
For getting things right. So we both write our joint column together, and you go, yep, done. And I do mine, and then all day I'm fiddly, 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 and I come down. Do you think we could move that comma? You go, I give a fuck, send it. I could rewrite your whole column in my own words, send it. You wouldn't even notice when you read it back in the paper.
I would. You did that the first we did it, and you made me cry. So,
did I?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you rewrote my column in your voice, and I didn't say anything. I said, yep, that's fine. Then I went upstairs and I sat on the bed and cried.
Really?
And then you came up and you were really, really apologetic. And it was honestly one of the most wonderful moments in my marriage.
Why?
Because it was so nice. You said, I said, you totally rewritten my column to make it sound like you, and I'm really upset. And you said, I'm really, really, really sorry. And you put it all back to the way that I'd written it.
And now your columns go in as you write them. And I believe it's coming to an end next week. Oh, this is her copy.
No, your column would be, most men are crap at barbecuing. I'm really good at barbecuing, so I know this. I know the difference between good barbecue and bad. And then you can say, but most men are bad at everything.
No, but it's, what I mean is that the attitude, barbecuing, most men are bad at everything. They're stupid and fat and drunk, and they do it in the garden because they know they're going. Basically, men, this is where men can't cook. They burn everything, so it might as well be in the garden. So they don't make a smell in the house, you know? Bearing in mind, and what I mean about not having attention, there was some, when the first time you tried to make Sam's omelette, which our old cleaner used to make because he loved it so much, and you made it and then like went to the shops or something and just burnt it sort of thick. Because you do lots of cooking and you're amazingly good at it, but you don't focus, drill down into it, possibly because you have to do it so much. You don't drill down into the kind of perfect, the sort of Heston Blumenthal perfecting of everything.
But listen, no, that's called trial and error. I didn't go to the shops and leave it on the hob. I was answering an email. Because I am a busy working mother.
Because women can so famously do two things at once, like answer an email and burn an omelette.
No, but I hadn't quite nailed down how long it took to
less
cook the
is the answer.
Yeah, I know, darling. That's fine, trial and error. Okay, and your barbecuing was a lot of trial and error. I don't want to remind you about the incident when we had to eat that like burnt thing at 4 p.m. And Hannah and I got so, Hannah's my sister. Hannah and I got so hungry that we had to just eat the condiments.
Was that the barn? Was
that
lamb?
That was the lamb.
Me and Henry trying to slow cook the lamb.
You and Henry and Zander.
Trying to cook the slow lamb. The problem was it was in a breeze, okay? So we were trying to cook the lamb really slowly on the barbecue. So we were trying to cook a shoulder of lamb which had quite a strong northerly blowing across it. And it didn't cook.
And while we were waiting for
Henry
the lamb to cook.
Henry called it the stall. It's what it does.
Yeah. Xander got so drunk he fell asleep in the rhubarb patch.
Yes, he did.
It was really bad. That was your error. And I don't bring it up. I don't use it as a stick to beat you with.
But you look at you just done it on...
That's because you did the thing about the omelette.
Well, yeah, fine. So, but what, we could talk about my salmon.
Oh my God, your salmon's so good.
It really is delicious.
The salmon's amazing.
Because one of the problems with the barbecue is we all know you're not meant to... We men. We all know you're not meant to cook over flame. And that message took a long time to come through. And with all these disposable barbecues, which they're all going to start using again now, the parks are, you're allowed, it's so awful. And they buy this paraffin-infused charcoal.
Yeah,
and the point is, once it's set fire, if you wait for it to go over to ashes, which is the worry that people have on even big barbecues, there isn't time left for the cooking. Mm. So they light them, and then they just chuck the stuff on them, and it just that smells of petrol and isn't cooked. The thing to I do it from log, so I start in the morning, long before cooking, and I do it whether it's in the country, in a pit, or here in London with a sort of Weber normal barbecue. But I put fire log, and I burn them right down to its vast amounts of ash, and the whole thing has got incredibly hot, and will then stay hot all day if you want it to. And at that point, when there's no flame at all, putting in a whole side of salmon, just on a piece of tinfoil, shutting the lid and leaving it for 20 minutes, it just comes out
like
hot, smoked,
hot smoke,
melty,
so good.
Can't possibly go wrong. And you don't have to have anything else for your barbecue. This is your tip for the barbecue weekend, from the Corrins, I suddenly realised. You only need to have then made three nice salads that you stick on a
Not
table.
Not even three, one.
One.
Easy peasy.
But you have to impress people with how great you are if you're a narcissist. Okay, one great salad. A fucking potato. I don't care. But then you've got this side of the fish comes out. The only other great, the sadness with it, you make all this fire and then the problem that blokes have is you've made this great fire. It's going to be hot for 3 hours. You've cooked everything after half an hour. What are you going to do with all this heat?
Beach banoffee.
That's what the invention of the beach banoffee.
So you take a banana, you cut it with the skin still on, you cut it sharply down the middle with a knife, but you don't cut it in half. So you cut it so it kind of opens like a book. And then you stuff it with squished chocolate digestive or squished Mars bar, if you're really serious about this. And then you wrap it in foil and then you put it on the barbecue. And it takes quite a long time to cook properly. It's like half an hour or 45 minutes.
Another little tip if you're cooking this menu is to leave the tin foil slightly open so that you get just a faint whiff of oily fish on your banoffee pie and a banana skin, because it does make it just that bit more delicious.
But if you were going to turn this into a column, it would be, of course... Most men are bad at barbecuing because most men are bad at everything. And then you can do driving.
Is it a man thing? Is that what Carol said?
Yeah.
Men are bad at everything. That's quite a good idea. It's like, but that is a good column.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. And you haven't done a men-hating one for a while.
It's amazing we've got to the final episode of series 4 for you to finally arrive at the headline for one of my columns, Men Are Bad at Everything. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Past Imperfect with Rachel Sylvester and Alice Thompson, a weekly series of in-depth interviews with high-profile figures examining how overcoming the challenges of their early lives shaped the people they've become.
This week, award-winning actor Eddie Marzin talks candidly about his parents' divorce, witnessing violent racist attacks as a child and coming to terms with his own spiritual and political beliefs.
I'm not us, I'm the other, and I think that's my advantage. No one asks me to be me. They always ask me to be someone else, which I quite like.
Past Imperfect with Rachel Sylvester and Alice Thompson.
Eddie Marzin, in his own words, now available as a podcast. Listen on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.